game is turning up. That was good.
Yes, sir.
That was really good.
Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated for a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, a juggler was driving to his next performance, and he was stopped by a policeman. He said, "What are those machetes doing in your car?" asked the cop. He said, "I juggled them in an act." He said, "You do?" He said, he was really doubtful. He said, "Let me see you do it." So the juggler gets out and starts tossing and catching the knives. Another man driving by slows down to watch. "Wow," says the passerby, "I'm glad I quit drinking. Look at the test they're giving now."
Yeah, man.
God is awesome.
All the time.
Yes, he is.
We're gonna, y'all can stay seated because I'm gonna read this to you coming right up short. But we're gonna finish it today, the circumstantial trap. So many people have been caught in their circumstances. And because they get caught in their circumstances, things that normally can just go by and it doesn't bother you. You can see things and it doesn't hurt you. And all of a sudden, there's that one circumstance and it gets you. It's that one person that comes up to you and starts talking to you. And all of a sudden, that person's got you. Whatever it is, something's going on. But you're in that circumstance and you wish you could get out of it. Amen? Because it starts taking away your power from God. So they were talking about Ruth, and we're talking about Naomi. So I'm going to read this out loud. Y'all can look at it. It's right there. You don't have to get out your Bible unless you want to. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband." Then we could go down to verse 20, because this is not about Ruth right now. This is about Naomi. "And she said, 'Do not call me Naomi, sweetness. Call me Mara, bitter. For the Almighty has caused me great grief and bitterness.'" Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, and you are on the throne, God, and there's nothing, nothing, nothing impossible for you. We're living in a time when the world has gone absolutely crazy, and the things that were once called good are being called evil, and the things that were once called evil are being called good. And not only are they being called good, but they're being defended, and it's just crazy, the stuff that we're seeing. But God, we know, Lord, that you're still in control, you're still in charge, and you told us a long time ago that this was going to happen. So this is not something new to you, although it may be new to us. God, I ask you right now to touch us, Lord, because we have to know that this stuff has to come to pass in order for this last days to come upon this earth and for the devil to get a stronghold. So I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, hold fast to you, hold fast to your grace, hold fast to your message, and know, God, that you got this. We trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen, amen, amen. Now, just because I want everybody, that people weren't here last week, I want them to get into the rest of the message. I'm going to put a few slides up from last week, but they're not all, so it's going to be okay. I promise you, anybody's having anxiety attacks, just start breathing. I taught you how to breathe. Okay. Okay, ready? Here we go. Now, for 10 years, Naomi was subjected to the life in Moab, or subjected to her circumstances. And because for 10 years she was subjected to these circumstances, and she didn't go there because she wanted to, she went there because her husband was taking her there, and then after he took her there, he dies. Then her sons die. So she feels alone, abandoned. One of her daughter-in-laws left, and she was so touched by her circumstances that she altered her name. Remember, nobody else named her this. She named herself this herself because Naomi means, means to be good, to be sweet, to be pleasant, and Mara means to be bitter. She couldn't see God working behind the scenes. Even though they're the ones that messed up, God was still working behind the scenes. Some of y'all in here today, you're the ones that messed up. You did. Nobody else. You're the one. But guess what? Even though you're messed up in these circumstances that you even might have brought on yourself, God sees you, and he's still working behind the scenes to bring you out of these circumstances. God was watching. God was active. He was waiting. And he was attending until she turned back to him. And then that's when the ball started rolling. And then more people ever got caught up in circumstances. Peter walked on the water until he got his eyes off Jesus and onto the circumstances, and he sank. The disciples were with Jesus in the garden until they got their eyes on the circumstances, and they ran. Circumstances kept all the one disciple from the cross. They all stayed away. Circumstances kept them behind locked doors. They hid. And circumstances had taken its toll on Naomi. And she said, no longer call me Naomi. Just call me Mara. Call me bitter. Because life has taken a very bitter, bitter turn. So from Naomi to Mara, let's just talk just a little bit. We're getting ready to get into today's stuff, but I got to put that first piece in the puzzle so we can put it completely. Now, these are very important to the Hebrews. And because they're important to the Hebrews, here's why. Because it represents a picture of self or their identity, or it represents their path or their potential, and it represents their prophet of their future. Just like when Jacob, who meant supplant or deceiver, was changed to Israel, which means prince with God. God changed his name because he was being prophetic about his path and prophetic about his destiny, that God was going to do something very special with him. So now, and the Bible tells us, when we get to heaven, we got a new name. I may remember that. We got new names coming. All right, so here we go. Get ready. Get ready. You choose. Positive, negative, you choose. She was to be an influence in an ungodly land. But instead, her environment influenced her. Not just influenced her, but influenced her so strongly that she began to lose hope in God. Her circumstances have her trapped. Let me ask again, I'm going to ask you boldly, do not raise your hands, but are you here today and you feel like your circumstances have you trapped? Do you feel like what you're going through is your lot in life, it's not going to get any better, it's just going to get worse, and you just want to go ahead and ride it out until God calls you home? If that's what you're feeling today, this sermon is for you. Amen? So now, here we go. Let's get rolling. Y'all ready to get rolling? Somebody say get rolling, preacher.
Get rolling.
Rolling, rolling, rolling on the Bible, rolling on the Bible. Okay. You ever been there? You ever been there? You're holding a trap trying to keep it from hitting you, from coming down on you. We're going to talk about the four ways to overcome life beyond a circumstantial trap. All right? So here's the first two real quick, and we're going to get the other two. The other two are going to be so dynamic. I want you, if you're taking notes, take notes. If you don't take notes, because you need to get a good grasp on the last two. Get a good grasp on this, but the last two are life-changing. Your circumstances are life-changing. The last two are going to be life-changing. Your present circumstance doesn't determine where you can go. They merely determine where you start. Amen? Refuse to let your circumstance determine your identity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I am not what I'm living through, and nor am I what I've already been through. Y'all going to say this with me? We said it last week. We're going to say it out loud. Say it out loud and proud. Okay? Get ready. Get ready. What does your father call you? Not what you call you. What does your father call you? Ready? Out loud and proud. I am blessed and highly favored. Say it. I am blessed and highly favored. Watch this. We are the head and not, come on, y'all, I can't hear you. We are the head and not the tail. Oh, that's good. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Isn't that cool? No weapon formed against me shall prosper, says the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap.
Okay.
Every day of your life, you can say that, and you can say it with assurance because that's not my words. That's God's words. That's what God says about you. Amen? So refuse to let circumstances define your or determine your identity. One more. Refuse to let circumstances distort your view of God. What have you been through that left you with a distorted view of your Heavenly Father? What are you going through now that may have you thinking, God, if God's really all-powerful, why is this happening? If God's really all-knowing, why is this happening to me? If God's got everything under control, why am I out of control? Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. She's blaming God for her misfortunes. Don't allow the enemy to distort your vision of God. That's what he wants to do. Her family, this is the truth, her family took matters in their own hands during the famine. And they left and went to Moab. Moab is a very, 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 very bad place biblically because when Lot had an incestuous relationship with his oldest daughter. The child was Moab. And so Moab, they were polytheistic. They were idolaters. They were adulterers. This was a very, 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 very rough people. And so they leave the house of bread and praise, and they go to this place that's way, way, way out of control. So this was not God's doing. They made some bad decisions. Some of us in here right now, go ahead and suck it up, buttercup. Some of the stuff you're going through, God didn't put you through it. Some of the stuff we go through is because we don't ask God first. I like my Bugs Bunny, one of his favorite, my favorite sayings of Bugs Bunny when he pops up out of the ground. He looks up and says, whoa, this ain't where I was going. I knew I should have took that left turn at Albuquerque. Some of us should have taken a left turn at Albuquerque. And so, our bad decisions have got us, but then there's other times where God has led us here at the Red Sea so he can show us his power. So either you did it, or either God's allowing it, or just the enemy's fighting you, and still God's allowing it so that he can show his glory and his power and his authority in the middle of everything. Whether you mess up, or whether it's Satan's power coming against you, or whether it's just the storm that you're in, whatever the reason for where you're at, don't let the circumstances get you down. Because God's going to show himself strong. Now, get ready. This is what I'm telling you. This is life-changing. Listen carefully. We've all got potential. Look at that light bulb. We got potential. The power's there. The switch is there. The filament's there. We all got potential. But until we put it in God's hands and move forward through it, there's no performance. How many times have you had the potential? You had whatever it took, you had it at your hands, but you wouldn't step forward. You wouldn't grasp the promise of God. You would step forward in the battle for God. You had the potential for 40 days and 40 nights. All of Israel had the potential. Saul had the potential to take down Goliath. But it was only when little old shepherd boy coming to feed his brother's lunch saw what was going on. Not only did he have potential, he said, who is this guy? Don't he realize he's cutting down God and God's covenant? This guy's not even circumcised. He said, I'll go take him on. David had potential, but David had performance. David was a man after God's own heart. Sound ready? Get ready. Here it is. Listen carefully. Write this down. Don't Don't let your circumstances divide you your potential. Don't let what you're going through divide you. You on your path to where God's got something in store on the other side of these circumstances. Potential in Naomi is revealed in her ability to walk through the difficulty of Moab, listen carefully, and come out with Ruth by her side, not Orpah. I don't know if you ever thought about this before. Think about what I'm going to tell you. When she's coming out, she's going back to Bethlehem. God's working it. God's working on all ends. God's in Moab with her. God's in Bethlehem with her. God's got everything under control, although they can't see it. Naomi just says, call me Mara, call me better. She's going to go back home, though, because she says there is bread there. And so she's going back. And says, y'all girls stay here. Orpah stayed. Ruth went. Here's the significance. Orpah's name means stiff-necked. Ruth's name means beautiful. How's that have a name like stiff-necked? I would not like having a name stiff-necked. Orpah, her name was stiff-necked. Ruth's name was beautiful. You ready? Here's your life changer. You can't always help finding yourself in Moab. She couldn't help it. She was following her husband. But you can determine what you walk out of Moab with. Wow. Somebody say wow.
Wow.
You can walk out with bitterness, or you can walk out with something beautiful. The choice is yours. Wow. She had no inkling of what was going on. When she followed her husband, she gets there, has no idea she's going to be a widow, and not only she's going to be a widow, but she's going to wind up losing two sons. She had no idea this was going to go down. She had no idea that it was going to be worse where she was at than where she was coming from. But when she goes back, and even changed her name, but when she went back, again, here's your choice. You can come out of this bitter, or you can come out of this thing with something beautiful. Which do you want to do? I prefer to come out with something beautiful myself. Amen. Satan can't stop it. Satan can't stop it. Let me say it again. Say it with me. Satan can't stop it.
Nope.
One more time. Satan can't stop it. I choose not to come out of what I'm in bitter, but I choose to bring something beautiful with me. One of the greatest things I learned years ago is we're all going to fall down. Every last one's going to fall down. If you don't think you're going to fall down, you better put you on some knee pads and some honey poppers. But you're going to fall down. What I learned was a very valuable lesson is while I'm down there, find something to pick up. So, here it is. Your choice. You coming out of this bitter? Are you coming out of this beautiful? Here goes. Get ready to get deeper in here in a good way. There they are. Refuse to let your circumstance destroy your destiny, your future. Wow. Let me get this out here. I just want to talk a little bit more about Ruth. Ruth is such a very powerful woman, and she has no idea. I'll be in prison, or I'll be somewhere else talking with somebody or counseling with somebody, and they're saying they're worthless and they're no good or they'll never amount to anything or whatever. And I usually end after I pray with them and tell them, you have no idea just how powerful you are. They go, look at me. I'm wearing orange. Or look at me, I'm in the hospital. Or look at me, I'm broke. Or look at me, my wife or my husband, they left me. Look at me, my children won't talk to me. Look at me, look at what I mean. Look at my circumstance. And I say, quit looking at your circumstance. And I want you to repeat this after me. God, I am powerful in you.
God, I am powerful in you.
One more time.
God, I am powerful in you.
Amen. Remember, spiritual warfare is 10% Satan and 90% how you respond. Sam, now let's see it. Here we go. Even in her old age, Naomi had a destiny to be a part of something greater than her. Think about it. Even though she was an older woman, she could no longer have, she said, if I could have children, I still could have a child that could wind up being the kids of a redeemer. She had no idea that Boaz was waiting. So now, watch this. Her destiny was to help bring Ruth something beautiful to Boaz. And when she brought Ruth to Boaz, they produced a child linked to the throne of David. Now, I love it. I'm getting ready to read something. I love it. Don't let Moab destroy your destiny. You can't. Come out of the wilderness. Refuse to allow the marks of where you've been to be your identity. I was going to read something to you. I love it. Last part of Ruth. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom. Get ready. This is wild. Naomi took the child, her grandson, and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. It's not that powerful. You can't get much powerful than that. Here she had nothing in line. Call me bitter. I've got nothing left. And not only does she have a daughter that winds up getting the kids of Redeemer, but she also winds up getting a grandson, and then God restores her youth so that she can nurse her own grandson. Tell me now that how powerful our God is.
Amen.
Go ahead and give the Lord a hand. God is powerful. God is powerful.
Wow.
And so, the Bible says, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this son, the boy born of Naomi, they shall call his name Obed. And he is the father, oh, here it goes. His name is Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Woo! Here's somebody that had nothing going for him in her mind, and God said, I got this. Why do you keep worrying? I got this. I love this one. I love this one. Of course, they said the redneck version is just before a redneck dies, David's last words are redneck. Here, hold this. Hold this. Watch me. All right. Now, God was telling Naomi, watch this. Watch what I'm getting ready to show you. I'm getting ready to show you that life isn't as bad as you think it is. The circumstances may have been bad, and you suffered a lot of loss, and you suffered a lot of pain, and you suffered a lot of terror in your life, but I'm going to restore you to something very, very, very powerful. Then we stepped out of a circumstantial trap, stepped into redemptive history, because she begot Obed, Obed begot Jesse, Jesse begot David, and David, and who, why does Jesus keep saying he is? Jesus, thou son of David.
Yes.
Wow. My question is to you, is there anything too hard for God?
No.
It's time for us to step out of our circumstantial traps It's time for us to rise up no matter how bad it looks. If he could take a woman that is well out of years, I already thought her life was over. She was just ready to die and restore not only her hope and bring a son, a grandson, and not only to bring her kids to a redeemer, and not only do that, but provide her with life so that she can even nurse the baby. I'm here to tell you something. Our God can do anything.
Yes, hallelujah.
She had no idea that Obed, little old Obed, come here, Obed. How you doing, Obed? Had no idea that Obed one day was going to have Jesse. Had no idea that Jesse was going to have David. Had no idea that David the Giant Slayer was one day going to be called the son of Jesus, the son of David. God is all powerful.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm preaching today. Just the same thing I did last week. Hold up here, Brandon. Same thing I did last week. It just was too good to even add to or take away. Your challenge this week. The circumstances we ask God to change are often the circumstances God is using to change us. Get ready. This week, instead of asking God, why? That's the number one thing I hear as a counselor. Why? 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 And my number one answer to that is, I don't know. I say, why this? Why now? Why me? So this week, instead of asking these questions, I want you to train yourself to ask God, ready? Instead of why, what? And say, what are you teaching me through this now? What are you teaching me through this now? Not asking why this, why now, why me, but instead, what are you teaching me through this now? It's so amazing. So amazing. I see people, I may meet them for the first time, or they may even come look me up. And they'll tell me something about what Bethany did. Do you know that I was really down and out? I was really having a hard time. And I said, there was Bethany with all that cancer in a wheelchair. And said, she put her hand out and she held my hand. And she said, I felt the power of God. And she would say, in her sweet voice, don't worry. God's got this. And they would tell me how they walked away and said, a girl going through all that can take my hand and say, don't worry. God's got this. Either way, you win. Wow. I know the people in this church that were going through things, and I find out later on that somebody, they were ministering to somebody as they were going through their pain. But as they were going through their pain, they still reached out and touched somebody else. And when they did, man, oh man, the power. While they were thinking they were powerless, they didn't realize how much power they had. God is in control. That God can use your pain to bring the rain. Wow. God can use your pain to bring the rain in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
More powerful than you know. God's got you. I want everybody to stand. You may not have even had a chance to pick the circumstances you're in. You may not. It may not be your fault at all. Mm-hmm. Or it could even be your fault. Whatever. You're in these circumstances that you did not ask for. And you're wondering how God can get glory out of that. I remember with my kids, and I remember a fountain in engineering. They go, Hey, boss. Look at this. Miss. And I go, that's not a miss. That's an opportunity for you to show somebody what you and God can do. Let's work on it. It ought to be something great. Constantly telling people, I know it looks like it's bad, but God's not through with it yet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First, I really, really, really want you to get it in your spirit today. Naomi could have left out with stiff neck, but instead she left out with beauty. You can't, may not choose that circumstance, but you can choose how you come out of it. And that totally changed Naomi's destiny. Instead of feeling like all her world was lost, her neighbors praised God for what he was doing in her life. So now, every head bowed, every eye closed. But you found yourself saying, why God? Why this? Why now? Why me? If you have, instead of saying why, learn to say why. You got to train yourself to say why. Why are you teaching me through this now? And watch what God can do. It may be a while before he lets you in on it. When he does, you're going to go, wow, this is so, so, so awesome. If you're here today, head bowed, eye closed. God's talking to you. He's talking to you about that why me, why this, why now. But nobody else is looking around. And I'm talking to you. Just put those hands up. Nobody's seeing it. Just put your hand up. Bless him, Lord. Bless, 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 bless. Maybe you can ask him why instead of why. But you're starting to get a little thin there because you're not seeing any rhyme or reason to what you're going through. You know you didn't start this, you didn't cause the circumstance. You know you didn't do this. I'm here to tell you again, your pain, if you handle it correctly, will cause rain in somebody else's life. They may need that. If you're here today, and you're trying, you're giving all you got, but you need God to give you a good old booster shot. When you put that hand up, nobody looking around. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. God's got this. God's got this. Let's pray together. Father, I rededicate my life to you. I give you me. And God, I also give you my circumstance. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to walk in your way. I thank you, God, that I'm more powerful than I feel like. And I thank you, Lord, that victory's ahead, although I may not see it. And I thank you, God, that you got this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen, amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And when we get through with the Lord's Prayer, hold on, don't. We're going to pray first. Another prayer. Okay, get the one. Okay. no difference. The last time he pulled all over the dust. Doug took a bath. The holy anointing, Doug had a bath. That's why I said the last prayer, because he's more anointed than the rest of us. But you put your hand for a pain. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that something powerful is coming out of this. And God, we thank you for it right now, ahead of time, that she's heading straight to victory. And something very powerful is coming out of this, Lord, and even in her pain, it has caused somebody to receive some rain. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, that she's a powerful woman, Lord, and that she's going to step out of this, and she's going to step into something beautiful. And I thank you right now, Lord, for touching her body, lifting her up, strengthening her, bring healing in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we curse and rebuke this, whatever this is, we curse and rebuke it, Lord, and we know you got it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Come on, amen. We always got time to stop and pray. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after we say the Lord's Prayer, Steve's going to dismiss us in prayer. All right, y'all ready? Yeah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Father, we just praise you and thank you so much for being by our side. There were many that today. Lord, we just thank you for doing what we're doing. And Lord, we thank you for being there for our way out. Lord, that was stressing you and everything that you say we're doing.
Yeah.
And Lord, bless us mightily as we leave this place.
Yeah.
Bring us back safely. And that's every time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.